Are you thinking about starting your own cash practice? Maybe you've already started your own practice and you're starting to realize that there's a lot to learn when it comes to business. We can be great clinicians, but if we don't understand the business side of having our own practice, we're going to have a hard time being successful in business. Guys, I wrote a book for you and I took everything that I've learned over the last 5 years of running a successful cash practice here in Atlanta, and I put it in this book, and I gave you everything that you need to be able to start and scale that practice past yourself. That book is called Fuck Insurance, and if you don't like the title, the book is not for you. If you do like the title, it's the exact book that you need to be reading right now. I show you exactly how to start. I show you what's important when it comes to marketing, when it comes to sales, when it comes to operations, and what stage you're actually at in the business, you know, where you're at, what you need to focus on while you're there, and how to get to the next stage. I'm trying to set it up in a way where you can get some clarity in your business. And the book for now is 100% free. All you have to do is go to finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com and get your free copy of the book that I wrote specifically to help you be successful in business. The book is free. All you got to do is pay for it to get to your door so that I don't lose my shirt on giving everybody all these books and sending them around the world. And again, head to finsurancebook.com. Learn how to run a successful cash practice today. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and I'm super excited to get into a topic today that I get a lot of questions about, and I think any of you that are listening to this that are either thinking about going into a practice for yourself, have a practice of your own, or really just trying to get clients in any other capacity, whether it be training, performance-based stuff, whatever it might be, this is going to be very, very relevant, you know, to what you are trying to do. Now, before we get into this, first of all, for those of you that have listened for a long time, thanks so much. If you're new, welcome. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I'm Dr. Danny Matei. I'm a strength coach, physical therapist, and entrepreneur based out of Atlanta. And you know, I help practitioners, cash practitioners, move away from insurance and develop, you know, businesses that they can really enjoy running, growing, and make more, live a life that they want, and on their terms in particular, in what you're trying to do, instead of just going straight into a high volume insurance practice and getting burned out and wondering why you ever went to physical therapy school. This is what we get into on this podcast. And the topic today is, how do we get more people to come and see us, right? So this is something that I feel like is the linchpin for almost anybody in almost any business. So if you look at business in general, really it comes down to a couple factors. Number one, do you have a repeatable system to get people in your door or to your website? Do you have a repeatable conversion system in place, whether that be a sales process or if it's digitally moving them along, you know, a pathway to becoming a customer? And then do you have a repeatable system to retain those people and get them to send more of their friends and family your way? Now, this is basically any business would need these variables. And oftentimes we focus, especially if you're newer into any sort of business like this. And for me, most of the experience I have is, you know, would be with the cash practice, performance-based cash practice like we have here in Atlanta. And the variable starting out, it's great. You're like, yeah, I think I have a repeatable retention system and I think I have a repeatable sales or conversion system, but you don't know until somebody actually comes into your facility or, you know, reaches out to you to make contact with you. So really you could have the greatest sales system in the world, the greatest retention strategy in the world, but if you don't have any new clients or customers reaching out to you, you can't even use it, right? So it's definitely the variable early on that people are wanting to focus on the most. And I get so many questions about, how do I just get more patients? Like, how do I just get more new patients? How do I get one new patient, right? I mean, everybody has to start with one. And I remember the first person I saw vividly. And it's just, you know, when you go into business for yourself and somebody actually like comes to see you to give you money for a service or a product you have or whatever, it's kind of like, it's really freaking cool. Honestly, it's a rare thing. And I remember, you know, the first guy I saw, his name was Sam. Actually, I remember his name. I remember where he lived. I remember where he came from. I remember everything about him. And it's because it was that impactful of a moment, you know, for me. So getting these people in the door though, can be a lot of work. And I can tell you what most people want. And I would look, if I just wanted to make a bunch of money and just unethically, you know, do so, in my opinion, I would start a ad agency and I would just tell people, yeah, let me run digital ads for you. Problem solved. I'm going to get you so much lead flow, you're not going to know what to do with it. Now, that's a difficult thing to do. And not necessarily difficult to get leads, but to get the right people that then you can convert. So even if I was to get you a bunch of leads, can you actually convert them? If you can't, then it's a huge waste of your time. You know, or do they come in once and you don't understand how to engage with them? This is the sales part we're talking about. And then they leave. So what you paid to get that person in the door with direct digital advertising doesn't really equate to much return on investment because they only come in, you know, one time, or maybe they come in for a discovery visit or something like that and they never come back. And then that you get frustrated because not only have you wasted your money, but you wasted your time. So what I've found is for those of you that are newer into practice, I recommend don't even try to go that route initially. You know, once you need to really be somewhere in the range of $5,000 to $10,000 a month before you have the money to be able to put towards advertising. I would honestly say over $10,000 a month in a cash practice to put towards digital advertising, and also to understand what your proven sales system is. Your repeat, you'll figure these things out. You're going to suck at this for about the first 20 to 25 people. You're not going to be good, period. That's normal. That's everybody. So, you know, for you, the best thing to do is to get these people in the door in the most organic way possible without risking, you know, money on a digital ad that may or may not convert. And there's so many variables with that, with the offer, the landing page, the messaging, the image that you use, targeting. You don't even have a list to retarget at this point. So you're just using cold audiences. And I mean, there's a lot of reasons why early on, it's probably not your best bet to go with something like that versus the things that I'm going to talk about today. So I'm going to talk about three low-tech ways to get more new patients. Okay. And these work really well. They require your time. They require you to talk to another human being. And for some of you, that might make you uncomfortable. I'm sorry if you want to be a hermit and sit in your, you know, in your house all day and get Postmates delivered to you and, you know, whatever, Instacart and Amazon Prime, and you never actually have to engage with another human being, this is going to be hard for you. But you probably also are in the wrong business. So maybe you should look at doing something else. We work with people in person. That's what we do. So these low tech ways work, but they do require your time and they require you to put yourself out there a little bit. So the first thing is networking groups. So networking groups are something that I have a love-hate relationship with. I can't stand small talk. If I don't really think that there's going to be some sort of a relationship that we're going to develop that is more than just, you know, hey, yeah, oh, it's here's going to rain tomorrow. How's so-and-so? You know, how's the business? It's hard for me. I don't care. I just would prefer less relationships, but those relationships be more, you know, meaningful and impactful. So, but that being said, for my business, I understand that it's more about who knows you than who you know. And that happens from you getting out and meeting, in particular, other business owners and or professionals in the area. So for me, I've been a part of a group here locally called Entrepreneurs Organization. It's a worldwide entrepreneurs group. The challenge with this one is there's a fairly high barrier to entry. You have to be at a minimum of $250,000 in revenue to be in their one of their groups, and at a minimum of seven figures in revenue per year to be in another group that they have. So I've been in that group for a few years now. Really like it. I get a chance to engage with other business owners. There's some networking events. There's actually a lot of networking events. I don't go to as many as plenty of other people in this group go to, but it's a way for you to get around other business owners. They know people that, you know, we send people their way. They send people our way. It's really not about, you know, soliciting business from anybody else. Really, it's really more about kind of business problem solving and you know, getting some feedback on your business from other people that are business owners but aren't necessarily directly invested in your business. So it's a very non-biased opinion, which is very helpful. So that's a group that I've been in frequently. Another one that I've had a decent amount of exposure to is BNI groups. So BNI group, I think is Business Networking International is what it stands for. These are small chapters, usually throughout the city, anywhere. I think you can have decent amount of people, maybe upwards of like 40. Usually, in my experience, they've been smaller, anywhere between 6 and maybe 25 people. And this group is a little different because they only allow a certain like amount of people per group based on their occupation. So like if you're a physical therapist in a BNI group, that specific group, they won't bring another one on, or a chiropractor, they won't bring another one on. If you're, although it seemed like the group that I was in, there was a lot of realtors. So I don't know if they just like, I don't know, some gray area there. But it definitely was a lot of realtors, mortgage brokers, financial advisors, people that are, you know, service-based businesses. So many of them not necessarily owning the business, but like attorneys that maybe work for an attorney, you know, a law firm. There's a lot of that. But I would say the mixture is probably about 50% business owners and 50% sort of like service-based professionals for the most part. Now, this is a group where you go, you kind of have to give a little, you know, I guess like minute-long update or 30 seconds or whatever it is that you get about your business and what's going on and what you do, why people would, you know, who's your target audience and why they should send people to go see you. And then if somebody presents like every week, somebody presents for a short period of time, about, I think it's about 15 minutes on a specific topic. So, but with these groups, again, you're networking with people in your area that know other people. And it's not necessarily like the realtor maybe is not seeing patients every day, but knows a lot of people in the area. And if somebody starts telling them about their back pain, it's a natural thing for them to say, oh, we should go see so-and-so. Like, I just learned a little bit about what they're doing and, you know, this is where they're located, whatever. And it's more people start to get to know who you are, okay? So there's your option number one, get involved in a local networking group. Although I will add like local chamber of commerce options. Like I've been to a few of these. I just really don't like these that much. I mean, I think they're fine, but it's just like, it's too much small talk for me. It's too much. It's just not the right setting. I hate them, to be honest with you. Maybe they're beneficial. And if you're the kind of person that just loves talking to random people about absolutely nothing, this is a good place for you to go. Definitely get you into the community a little bit more, but there's always these local chamber of commerce, kind of business groups, BNI groups. And then if you are at the right revenue range, then a group like Entrepreneurs Organization or like Vistas or something like that could be a good fit for you as well. So number two, workshops. I talk about this a lot. For what you may lack in your ability to, you know, understand marketing, you probably are a pretty decent educator. You know, we learn how to teach people about, you know, the problems that they're having, explain what the root causes are, understand how to use verbiage that, you know, with people who have chronic symptoms that doesn't give them bad information. I mean, we are typically really good educators, which is cool because this is a skill that we can then leverage into being able to help a decent amount of people at once via a workshop. And a workshop, if set up correctly, can absolutely convert new patients like at the time of the workshop. I've had, I don't know, a lot of patients that I've gotten from workshops like the day of. I might do it in the evening and they book a visit for, you know, with me that same week at the event. So workshops are great because they give you an opportunity to get in front of, you know, a handful of your target clients in a place that's convenient to them and familiar to them. And you get to basically expose them to your methodology. And my goal in a workshop is I want it to be entertaining. So I want them to have fun. I want them to remember, me and or any of the people that are associated with our company that are teaching a workshop. I want them to also leave there thinking, wow, I really understood everything that they talked about. So I just feel very informed. And then the last thing is I want them to feel like I'm significantly smarter than they are when it comes to pain and movement. So this might sound weird, but what it's important for you in that window of time to be able to prove to them that you know what you're talking about. And one of the best ways to do that is via test retest, techniques. So pick a movement, do something to help improve it, retest it, let everybody partner up with somebody and see, holy crap, like your arm moves further, or, oh wow, look at that, your squat is deeper. And like these things that we know are transient, it's not about that. It's about me being able to show them that I understand how to create change in their body. And I can do so in a group format. Just imagine what I can do when it's one-on-one and I'm just focusing on you. So that's always been my intent, is I want them to think to themselves, holy crap, this guy, was able to make a change that I haven't been able to do myself in all of about, an hour of time here at this facility that we're at. So workshops are great, if you structure them correctly, which is a big part of it. If you don't know anything about doing workshops correctly, you should take a look at our Gym PT Blueprint course, because one of the modules in there is actually all on workshops, and we give you guys the exact templates we use for our top 4 converting workshops, exactly how we pitch ourselves, and exactly how we set up and automate workshops on the back end to include email copy. It is a plug and play system that's literally made us hundreds of thousands of dollars over the last few years just from workshops, and we detail it all out so that's basically dummy proof. You just have to teach what we say, problem solved. But workshops can be an incredible way to build your caseload, especially early on, because you get in front of people, you're developing rapport with them. There's reciprocity there, like you've just taught them something valuable, and then they, they feel like they owe you something back, and maybe that's not them coming to see you, but they might recommend a friend or a family member. And that happens a lot. People that have never come and actually worked with us, but have attended a workshop that we taught, come in and see us, and that's a pretty cool thing. I think that's a really cool sign. So that's the second one, workshops. And then number 3 is coaching. Start coaching. This seems like a no-brainer to me, but I don't know why most people don't do this. If you want to become, subject matter expert, go-to authority in your area, sure, you can have a little office in the corner with your logo on it. But when you're in front of, 15 people in a class, taking them through, movement warm-ups and the actual program, work for the day, coaching, cueing them, like just showing them that you're knowledgeable and being engaged with them, like that is such a good way to build rapport and trust with people. And if you can do that also at a facility where, let's say your office is, that is a home run, because it's literally as simple as like you have your coaching hat on and then cool, well, you have this problem going on, like I can help solve it. And here's my office. It's right there. So coaching is something that I did early on. I stopped doing, I guess, probably like 6 months into my practice. We just gotten so busy with my clinical schedule. It didn't warrant my time really, to coach versus see somebody. So from there, I just moved into full-on clinical treatment. But before, I would coach a few classes per week. It didn't have to be all day. But just getting in front of people is a big part of it. And, you at least get paid somewhat for it. So, it's not like what you're going to make if you see a patient for an hour, but it's still, you're getting paid to get in front of your target audiences. And that could be even more valuable than what you're getting from the gym in particular, if you get a patient or two from them. And then they send their friends and family to see you as well. And it snowballs from there. But just do things that are, people facing, getting in front of them, getting your information out there, letting them see your personality, and the way that you interact with people, you're kind of learning about your story, developing trust. It's the slow play. It's the right way, honestly, to go about relationship development. And the easiest way to get people to not like you is to try to get them to like you faster. And I think that's a really important piece of information to remember. Is like when you start out and you're just, you want the business to work so, you know, so bad, and you want people to come in and see you, and you know clinically you can help them, but the more just like, hey, look, come and see me, I'm right here. Like, come see me, I'm right here. And you haven't built the trust yet. It's very off-putting. It's hard because you know you want to do those things, but you gotta taper yourself. So, you know, being able to be relevant, helpful, and then at the right time interject an opportunity for somebody to come in and work with you when the time is right is the best way to go about it. So, number one, get involved in some sort of networking group. Even if you feel like you don't really know much about, you know, your business or you just started, whatever, it's still a good way to get out in front of people and start to make some develop some relationships with some people that can directly, honestly, help your business. Workshops, get in front of your target audience, show them you're smarter than them, that you know how to make positive changes in their movement patterns. And then number three is start coaching. So getting in front of people in a coaching role. So not necessarily workshops, but you actually coach them through some like performance-based work. So the actual workout of the day or whatever the group is, whether it's your Pilates instructor, yoga, you know, CrossFit, anything, doesn't matter. Like you getting in front of a group of people and using your performance-based skill set is a great way to also drive new patients to come and see you. So that's the three things: networking groups, workshops, and then coaching. So these are the things that you can do that are low tech, don't really cost you anything but your time and work, and repeatedly work. And it's one of those things that is also, it's not going to be like, hey, I joined a networking group, I did one workshop, and I coached one class. How come I don't have 20 new patients this month? Doesn't work that way. It's a slow buildup. And what we tend to see is it's about 3 months where, you know, we have 3 months where it's sort of like slowly picking up steam. And then around that month, kind of four or so, we see a lot of things kind of come together at once. And we'll see, you know, typically a big jump in the new patient volume that somebody has. And assuming that they have a repeatable sales system on the back end and a retention system, that's the difference between their practice working and their practice not working, and them going back to that in-network, high-volume clinic that they hate so much with their tail between their legs, wishing that they had just been able to figure it out. You know, so I hope this helps. Like I said, if you're interested in getting some structured you know, work with that, the GMPT blueprint is probably your best bet from the workshop standpoint. And we go over, like I said, everything in detail on that. And then if you're interested in getting some individual help, we can do that as well. We work with a mastermind group of, at this point, over 50 practice owners around the country. If you think you're the right fit for that, head to physicaltherapybiz.com/call and let's chat. You know, maybe it's the right fit. If you're making somewhere over maybe $5,000 a month in your practice at a side hustle or full time, you're looking to scale it up over $10,000 to $20,000 a month. That's what we help people do. And then eventually scale past themselves and grow it to a seven-figure business. So that's it, guys. Thanks so much for listening. These are the three low tech ways. Hope this helps you get more new patients, continue to build your business. And as always, thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time. You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.